God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. These two verses in Genesis chapter 1 lay the foundation for the sanctity of life. Sanctity meaning set apart for holiness. Human beings were sanctified by God himself, who created us in his image. He made us male and female. We are all in his image without exception. And we have to fully understand that every human being is made in the image of God. God created out of relationship. He says, let us create in our image. And I believe we are made from relationship in that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I believe that from the scriptures. And that we are made from relation to be relational. Prior to creating a man in Genesis, God created kind. But with man, he made in his image to give rule over the kinds of animals. And you can see that in Genesis chapter 1. In doing so, he set aside mankind apart as something unique and special. As God's image, we bear his reflection. We mirror God and his attributes. We all look in the mirror in the morning, don't we? For better or for worse. But we look in the mirror, right? And what we see is a reflection of ourselves. What we see is a reflection of the image of who we are. In the same way, we reflect God. How does God's reflection play out in our lives? When you love someone, you are reflecting God's love. When you tell the truth, you are reflecting God, who is truth. When I forgive, I reflect God's forgiveness. When I reason, create, everything I do that is good reflects God and reflects his glory out into the world. Can you see that? How we view others and how we treat others reflects God's glory. God placed us here to reflect to all creation his image. And why is this view so important? Because it shapes our actions towards one another and how we treat one another. One thing I know about myself and others is that I treat what I value differently than what I don't value. Think about having a car. When you have an old beater, you don't care if you hit something. Am I right? Because you don't value it. But if I have something that I've worked really hard for and I care for it a bunch, if there's just a scratch of paint in a parking lot, I'm upset. Am I right? What you value will reflect how you treat what it is that you value. If I look at a person and I see them as a burden, I will want to discard them. If I see a person as inferior, I will exploit him for my good because they're not as good as me. If I see a person as evil, it makes it easier to kill them and feel justified in doing so. If I don't see them as a human being at all, I can do anything to them and not feel guilt. But if I value them as I value my own life, I will protect them and I'd even sacrifice for them. In every moment in history of the world, this pattern has been followed when we exploit, victimize, or kill human beings. Even in relationships, you think about this for a minute. I was thinking on this thought. We have to think less of a person who has become the object of our scorn. And it sounds like something like this, and we've all said it. I don't like so-and-so because they are mean. Besides, he looks funny. We will say things like that. In the simplest ways, we will devalue the person in order so that we can dislike them. Have you ever thought about that? Even in the most subtle way, we will do that. Think about it. We have to devalue the other person to even dislike them. How does being made in the image of God make all the difference? And how should this reflect in our lives? And this is the question we want to answer this morning. And the first way I think that the image God plays out is human dignity. First, human dignity is not tied to the human race itself or something that is in us, but it is in the image of God. The reason we value people is because God values people enough to create them in His image. So how we treat other human beings, regardless of their color of skin, regardless of where they come from or what they talk like or what they smell like, all people have great value that is rooted in the image of their Creator. Because of God, we all have worth. Because each and every human being has worth, we are to treat them. How we treat them matters greatly. And also because we have worth, we have to view ourselves, how we view ourselves matters. So it matters on the way because of made people are made in the image of God. How I view them matters, and how I view myself matters. At Joe's school, I saw a huge banner one year that announced that each child coming to the school said, "You matter." And you've seen these banners on schools and everywhere else. And I read this and I thought, this is true. Every child coming to this school matters. But why do they matter? And I would say they matter because they're made in the image of God. But there's a movement over the last few centuries to rid the human race from the thought of God as a source of our dignity and worth, and I believe with dire consequences. Because if I acknowledge that God is the source of my worth and all others are valuable to God in the same way that I am, I have to be held accountable to that God for the way that I treat others. And I'm accountable for my actions and for what I do. How I treat opportunities for people matters. Each person should contribute by working and giving back to the whole. We were made in relation to be relational. Working for the benefits of my family and for others around me gives me a sense of dignity and self-worth. I'm contributing for the common good, doing good works. God always is at work. God has plans and He is accomplishing things. The Bible tells us that. We're given gifts and talents to be used in vocation. Using our gifts and skills, we can build for ourselves and create and care for one another. Earning a fair wage for good work gives me a sense of pride and accomplishment and gives me dignity and worth and all the self-esteem that the world is looking for me to have. It helps guide the way that I conduct myself and gives me self-respect and character. All this not only benefits me, but it benefits the whole community around me. And that's why I think, and I'm not knocking people who need help and welfare, but to have people stay on welfare, to me, robs them of their dignity. It lessens them as human beings. It turns them into foraging animals, in my opinion. Because it is work that gives us dignity. I don't want to kick my son out to get a job. Where is he? Which one? There he is. I knew he was here. But I don't want to do that because I have some warped thought that every that you should just work to earn, to get things. That's not what I'm after. Because I know in a job, he will have something. It'll give him a sense of who he is, a purpose and direction. It gives him freedom to be the person that God wants them to be. Just to sit there and play a video game all day. And I'm not saying that there's a whole generation that's doing that. What are we training these kids to do? They're losing out on the opportunity to truly be who they are. And to me, that's not dignity. There is dignity and worth in accomplishment. And our achievements reflect God and his glory. Every human being has worth. After the flood, Noah said this in Genesis 9, 5 and 6. I will require the life of every animal and every man for your life and your blood. I will require a life for each man's brother for a man's life. Whoever sheds man's blood, his blood shall be shed by man. For God made man in his image. God looked at all human life, and he put in place a system of punishment in order to protect life. If an animal or man was to shed innocent blood of another man, his blood was to be shed. God views the attack on another human being as an attack on himself. In the Ten Commandments, it tells us, you will not murder. And in the rest of the law that we see in Leviticus, and reflected in Deuteronomy, he's established her ways for we are to treat all people fairly and respectfully. I am to view myself as I view all the people and treat all people the same way that I would treat myself. In Leviticus 19:18, which we're familiar with parts of this, says this, do not take revenge or bear a grudge against a member of your community, but love your neighbor as you love yourself. I am Yahweh. Because of God, we are to love others. Proverbs 6, 16 and 19 says this, the Lord hates six things. In fact, seven are detestable to him. Arrogant eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that plots wicked schemes, feet eager to run to evil, a lying witness who gives false testimony, and the one who stirs up trouble amongst his brothers. All these have to do with the way that we treat one another. Those are the things that God hates. In Jeremiah, God says this, administer justice and righteousness. Rescue the victims of robbery of the hand of his oppressor. Don't exploit or brutalize the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow. Don't shed innocent blood in this place. All through the Bible, we see God implores us to care for others, to protect the poor and the defenseless, not to exploit people because they are not of the same tribe as us, and to care for the fatherless and the widow and the vulnerable because they're all made in the image of God. Jesus said in starting his ministry in Luke 4, 18 and 19, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. This is what he stood up and said in the synagogue, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives and the recovery of the sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. His focus, his ministry, was for helping the poor, the captives, the blind, and the oppressed. He warned the rich and he cared for the poor. He fed them and provided for them. He praised the widow who gave all that she had, and he loved the children who freely came to him, and he warned that anyone who led any of these children astray would have to answer to him directly. Even after Christ's death, we see the early church caring for the orphaned and the widows, taking collections for the poor, and helping those in need. All through history, the church has been on the forefront of caring for people made in the image of God. And it is still true today. If you look at any of the outreach, any of the organizations that are taking care of feeding people all over the world and caring for them after disaster relief, it's all, most of them are Christians or Christian organizations. You just look at the top 10 and you will see a majority of them are Christian organizations. As Christians, we are Christ's representative on earth. We are the church and we are to minister to the world as Christ ministered to the world. We are to imitate Christ. We are to be like Christ. We are to care for the poor, to care for the oppressed, to help free people from the bondage of sin through the knowledge of Christ. We are saved not by works, but to do good works for others out of gratitude of the grace shown to us. Ephesians 2:10. We are to be generous and ready to share. 1 Timothy 6:18. We are to be a model for others. Titus 2:7. We are to be zealous for good works, devoted to them for the good of all people. Titus 3:8. We are to meet the urgent and stir up one another in love for the benefit of others. Hebrews 10:24. We are to stand up for the image of God. We are to honor it, protect it, to sanctify it as God has from the very beginning. This week brings several past events together that brings this thought to the forefront. The equal treatment of all people, regardless of race, has been fought in this country for so many years. In the civil rights movement, we recognize Martin Luther King Jr. for giving his life to a cause. The suppression of degradation of a race is still a part of our nation. No matter how we want to not look at it or gloss over it, race is still an issue that we have to deal with. And it is an issue in the world at large. For the Christian, we are to have no part in racism of any kind. And we must eradicate it from our souls with the help of God. I believe that with all my heart. All people are made in the image of God, and we are to see all people the way God sees them, and they are precious in His sight. The civil rights movement was brought about the freeing of the slaves in our nation and their struggle to truly be considered equal in our land. But slavery hasn't ended. It still goes on in the world today. In fact, there is a global surge in recent years. It has gone underground, and more young men and women are being enslaved today in what is called human trafficking. People are bought and sold into forced labor, sex trafficking, and even in armies. The numbers are staggering, and I think in many ways, uncountable. You can't put a stat on it because it's underground. Millions all over the world are being exploited, and as Christians, we have to get involved and help bring it to an end. We have to. Lastly, and not least, we have to bring an end to the senseless killing of the innocent. Those who have no voice of their own. The silent Holocaust that is taking place right here in America. This week marks the 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, recognizing a woman's right to privacy and to choose an abortion. Since then, 55 million babies have been aborted. This nation gives over $500 million annually to fund and pay for abortion services, including late-term abortions. The Christian church has long been against abortion and infanticide. This is not nothing new. Get me, Charlotte. This is nothing new for the church. In a training booklet called the DIC, there was a training booklet that was given out to early Christians around the first century, the Didache, in case you were, I mispronounced it. And here's what it said in it. It was given as like a catechism book that they found that was given to early Christians around 100 AD. This is within the time of the apostles and 70 years after the death of Christ. So this was teachings from the early church. And here's what it said. You shall not abort a child or commit infanticide. The earliest church was practicing this. Because in the Roman Empire, it wasn't against the law to take an unwanted infant, and the father could do this legally and place him or her out in the woods and allow the baby to die of exposure. In fact, that's what they call it, exposure. The father would just take it. If he didn't want the child, didn't matter what the wife thought or whoever, if the father thought he didn't want the baby, he could kill it. And it was perfectly legal. Early Christians would look for these children because it happened so often. And what they would do is they would find these children and they would raise them as their own. It was a common practice that happened. I believe that human beings are fully human at conception and is to be protected. Psalm 139:13 says, "For it is you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb." All human life has value, whether it is born or unborn. All human life is made in the image of God and must be cared for and cherished. The miracle life is breathtaking. I've had the blessing of seeing all three of my sons born. And there's a story, I was right there with Josh. It's funny because I saw everything. And then when Jacob was born, I didn't go past Sharon's shoulder. I was like, I know what's going on down there. I'm good to go. And when Joe was born, I was in the corner of the room. I think if there was a fourth kid, I would have been in the lobby. But I was there. I was there. And I seen all three of them come into the world crying, shaking, and vulnerable. Saw it with my own eyes. At this moment, there is a great sense of awe and wonder. If you've ever been in the room of a birth, you know it's something that's amazing. And nobody who's in that room walks away unchanged. You watch this new life cling to your finger, so small and fragile, your heart melts. I don't care how tough you are, when that little hand grabs you. Yeah. See, I'm trying to fight the emotion just at the thought of it. I'll never forget the look on my wife's face the first time she held each one of them for the very first time and looked at them. Her eyes filled with love, reflecting the glory of God as he looks at the life in the image, in his image. One of the greatest tragedies of the abortion movement is that women are robbed of this moment. To carry a child from the very beginning is special, and to abort a child, we have to devalue it to remove it. It becomes a fetus or tissue. The problem for the mother rises for many of them. Years later, when the mother, she realizes what she has done is a mistake, and it's usually after she gives birth. She has to deal with the guilt and the remorse of her past decision. But she has nowhere to go. and she feels deceived. And to me, it's sinister not to tell her of the consequences at the expense of a quick fix. No one ever told her that celebrating her birthday now becomes a reminder of a past due date of a child that is no longer with us. I'm here to tell you this morning, as the church, we have to come alongside women who have been exploited, in my opinion, in this way, and share the love of Christ with them. For it is Christ who came to heal the brokenhearted. And we can find forgiveness, and they can find forgiveness and the love they need to heal. I think that's a responsibility we have in our country and in the church. I pray this morning that you will see human life differently. I pray that you will value every life as God values every life and was willing to die for all. I pray you would see the treatment of human life more than just being a number in a system or a product to be used. I pray that you would look at life and have compassion on those who are hungry or exploited. I pray you would understand the current way we treat people as a whole needs to change. People are not a commodity who loses their value as they near their expiration date. We don't shelve people made in the image of God or forget about them because they're old, cranky, and wore out. Human life is special because God is. See, Joyce got me laughing because I know she's thinking, I'm thinking, oh, you're thinking of me. It's not what I'm thinking. Human life is special because of God, who made the human race in his image. Every person is to be treated with the same love and respect that we treat each other, that we treat ourselves. We are to stand against those who do not hold the same view and protect the innocent, the exploited, and the needy. This is more than something that is a good cause. It will define us as a people, as God's people. It will define us. I don't know about you. I've been reading through Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Isaiah. One of the things that I take from that, and I know we can't say that it's the same as the American church in America, as Israel and the Jewish people. But there is things in there. There's principles to take from there. God does not take lightly the way we treat others. In fact, he will judge us for that. All of us. If we just stand by and do nothing, because that's what the people of Israel were doing when people were being exploited all around them. In fact, they were the ones doing the exploiting. And God held them accountable. They no longer were a nation. He took their nationhood from them. And he sent them into exile. It's something to think about. God is a God of love, but he's righteous and he's just. And he takes the image of God very serious. His name will not be profaned amongst the nations. He is God. We are created by God to reflect his glory to all creation, to display the attributes of God for all people to see. And by doing so, God appropriately receives glory. Maybe you know the words of this little song. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, black and yellow, red and white, they are all precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Whether you're rich or whether you're poor, it matters not to him. He remembers where you're going, not where you've been. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that we are created in your image. And I thank you, Lord, for your word that teaches us how we are to treat one another, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to look at life the way that you see life, Lord. Give us those eyes to see that. And Lord, give us the strength to stand up for those who cannot defend themselves, those who are poor and needy and exploited. I pray that you would help us stand up for the unborn who cannot speak. I pray that you would move in our hearts as we look upon a person who can no longer care for themselves, and that you would fill our hearts with compassion for them. Lord, I'm so thankful for the Spirit that you have given us. Lord, I pray that you would just pour out more onto us, and that we would see the errors of our ways, and we would do more. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know who you are, I pray that you would move in their hearts in such a way that they would see you for who you are in all your glory. And Lord, if there's anyone, if there's a woman in here, Lord, that has gone through this, I pray, Lord, that you would just heal her heart and that you would move in her and that you would show her your forgiveness and your love and your grace and your mercy. And Lord, that you would just wrap your arms around her. I pray for that, Lord. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you please stand with me and we're going to sing.